Time now for the second hour. Jimmy Sengenberger in for Stephen Tubbs here on News Talk 710 KNUS. Shifting gears now to the artist formerly known as Kanye West. Now he just goes by Ye, apparently. And earlier this month and for the past few weeks, Ye has been putting out a slew of flagrantly anti-Semitic comments, explicit comments regarding Jews in particular, starting with a tweet in which he said, quote, "I'm a bit sleepy tonight, but when I wake up, I'm going DEFCON 3 on all caps Jewish people. The funny thing is, I actually can't be anti-Semitic because black people are actually Jew also. You guys have toyed with me and tried to blackball anyone who ever opposes your agenda." Basically insinuating that he's facing some sort of wrath from the Jewish community. In an interview with Fox News' Tucker Carlson, there were portions that were not aired on television in which he refers to Jews in the way where he says, quote, talks about, quote, the 12 lost tribes of Judah, the blood of Christ, who the people known as the race black really are. And he posited that Planned Parenthood was the product of a collaboration between the KKK and Margaret Sanger to control the Jew, i.e. black population, and much more, including insinuating pretty directly to Tucker Carlson that Jared Kushner, that would be former President Trump's son-in-law, only arranged peace agreements between the Arab nations and Israel, helped bring about the Abraham Accords, quote, to make money. He also griped about a complicated Kwanzaa and said that he would prefer his children be taught about Hanukkah in school because it would at least, quote, come with some financial engineering. Spewing out that trope about Jews having some sort of financial control and being all about money and more along those lines. Constant insinuations. He has criticized the so-called Jewish underground media mafia and alleged that, quote, every celebrity has Jewish people in their contract. And more. The list goes on. I could go on. Then, I don't remember if it was a day or two ago, but just within the last handful of days, Kanye West, or Ye, said this about Adidas, which he has had a partnership with.
"I could literally say anti-Semitic and they can't drop me. I could say anti-Semitic things and Adidas can't drop me. Now what?"
Well, now what? Adidas dropped him. According to Forbes, he's lost $1.5 billion in wealth and is reportedly no longer a billionaire because of this deal being severed. Now worth a wealth of $400 million with an M, million dollars. This was following the major Hollywood talent agency, CAA, which yesterday dropped him. And the film studio MRC had a documentary that they'd put together that they've decided not to release about Kanye West. What's going on here, and how does this fit into what we are seeing across the country and from all sides politically? The rise in anti-Semitism. A deeply disturbing trend that is amplified when you have somebody in Hollywood or a major media mogul like a musician like a Ye saying things like that. Let's talk about it with Scott Levin. He is the regional director of the Anti-Defamation League's Mountain States region and joins us now. Good afternoon, Scott, and thanks for coming on.
Good afternoon, and pleased to be with you.
Good to have you here. So before we get into the broader issue of anti-Semitism, let's talk about Kanye specifically. What are you noticing here, and what's your takeaway from where we are now and where we started a few weeks ago?
Well, first of all, I think it's important to note that there are consequences for people's actions. The things he said resulted in the actions that Adidas and other corporations have taken. And the real question that they have to, you know, come to terms with is whether or not they want to be associated with somebody that spews out such vile, anti-Semitic, and hateful rhetoric as him. It took them a long time to get to the conclusion, but I'm glad that Adidas and others did finally decide that they did not want to be associated with his brand.
You hit on something very important, because there's been this discussion, and we have it on this station a lot, about cancel culture. But this is an instance where you have corporations having to make a determination. Do they want to associate with and help build the wealth of somebody like Kanye West saying the kinds of things that he said? And these corporations and these other companies have said, no, we don't want to tie ourselves to that. And I think there's an important point to be made there, that business is all about relationships and it's all about perceptions and those kinds of things. And it is important for a business to assess these things and to make that decision. Of course, it took a while, but yeah, here we are.
And I think that even beyond businesses, it's up to each and every one of us. Look, we live in a country where we value the First Amendment and the right of free speech. It means that people can say the worst, ugliest, stupidest things that are out there. But it is also incumbent on all of us then to use our own First Amendment rights and speak out about the truth and condemn those that do say the stupid, ugly, terrible things, similar to what Ye did.
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing that we have seen recently is a rise in anti-Semitic comments, anti-Semitic actions, and so forth. And clearly cutting ties and saying, no, this is unacceptable, just using your voice to say this is something worth calling out and denouncing is important. But what have you noticed in terms of the rise in this sort of rhetoric? And what does language from the likes of Ye bring about in that regard? What impact does it have on that rise?
Absolutely. Well, I've been the privileged to be the director of the Mountain States region for ADL for a dozen years now. And when I started out, you know, we had maybe 8 to 10 anti-Semitic incidents that took place in a year. And that it felt like a lot, because we helped support people, we helped provide resources to them and really validate what was going on in their lives. This past year in our region, we had over 100 incidents. So it clearly has been a dramatic rise. And part of that, I think, really has to do with this concept of normalization. As people start talking in much more coarse and vile ways about things, as their leaders, as their celebrities like Ye, as politicians and others use this kind of language, it really does embolden people to act out on their worst language, their worst urges that are there. And this really builds on top of it. Hate breeds hate. And as this gets normalized, the numbers really only get larger, which is the reason why it really takes the whole of society, all of us. It takes corporations, it takes individuals, it takes elected leaders and celebrities to all condemn hate when it happens. And, you know, we're at the Anti-Defamation League. We have a mission not only to stop anti-Semitism, but also to secure justice and fair treatment to all, because we recognize that it's not going to get better for the Jewish people if it's not better for everybody. And right now, we're just in a time when it is tough on everyone.
Again, Scott Levin, our guest. He is the regional director of the Anti-Defamation League's Mountain States region. I want to play a quick clip of the CEO of the national organization of ADL, Jonathan Greenblatt, who I think this is from CBS News, had some important words about the public square and having no place in public life. I thought it was pretty strong comments.
But whether it's coming from right-wing extremists like the white supremacists who hung signs on an overpass on the 405 freeway this weekend, whether it's coming from radical Zionists on college campuses, or whether it's coming from public figures like Kanye West, the reality is anti-Semitism has no place in public life.
Your reaction, Scott Levin.
Absolutely. I think that's one of the things that I'm finding again, having done this business now for a dozen years, that's troubling to me is when something like this happens, we should call it for what it is. It's just out and out Jew hatred.
Yeah.
And when there's Jew hatred like this, you know, I'm hopeful and expecting that people are going to speak out against it in the same way that I speak out against hatred based on race or other religions or LGBTQ status, those any other disaffected communities. And to be honest with you, it's been a little slow in coming when it's been around, this kind of Jew hatred. Again, I'm so glad that it, we got to this position where now everybody's talking about it and where Adidas and others are taking action against them. But I think that we really need to be working together as a society, that when these kind of things happen to any one of us, based on whatever might be your identity, that everybody speaks out against it, because that's really the only way it's going to change.
Just a few minutes with our guest left, Scott Levin from the Anti-Defamation League. When we look at an incident like this, or a series of incidents from somebody like Ye or others, I mean, I know ADL was critical of Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, and there are politicians and figures right and left that are rightly criticized for anti-Semitic comments and actions. But when we see that kind of rhetoric coming from someone, you talk about normalization. What can an average person do, whether online, on social media, or out in public conversations or what have you, when these topics come up, when comments are heard that are along the lines of the vindictive rhetoric of anti-Semitic rhetoric of Ye? What can the average person do, Scott?
Yeah. Sometimes it is a little bit disheartening. I mean, first of all, consider that Ye has something like 31.5 million Twitter followers out there. You know, that's like twice as many Jews as there are in the entire world. So it's a little bit tough when you're up against that kind of thing. I think what the average person can do is they can speak up. They can't just accept this kind of stuff that happens. And that means that when you're on social media, when you're talking to your neighbor, when you're talking to your family, that when people talk in that kind of language or they take those kind of beliefs, people need to stop them, because they need to understand, again, there are real world consequences for this. The tropes and canards that he's relying on about Jewish control and money and media and all the other stuff that he's doing, these are the things that lead people to take actions. It's what causes a shooter to go into a Sabbath morning service in Pittsburgh or in Poway, or to go take hostages in Colleyville because they believe that one of these tropes is real. I think back to the guy in Colleyville where he thought that the Jews sort of controlled the government, so therefore if he took over a Jewish Saturday morning Sabbath service, that he could talk to the main Jew, who would then call the president, who would then call the person in the Middle East that would release a prisoner, and that's the way that it worked, that kind of control. And of course, that's just ridiculous. But these things, if they're left unchallenged, they're going to find ears that they land on where they're going to be believed.
Yeah, I think that's important point for folks to consider. And this is why I think Adidas and these other companies have resoundingly made the right decision. I mean, from a business business sense standpoint, you don't want to associate yourself with such kind of hatred.
Well, and if it was a racist or a bigot or a homophobe or, any of the others, I would think that, and we've seen it, corporate America does not want to associate themselves with people who take these sort of outlandish, extremist kinds of positions. And, unfortunately, in that clip that you played from Ye, he thought he was bigger than that. He thought that, nobody was going to be able to stop him from spouting off the way that he has. And fortunately, just like there are consequences for what he says that are bad and good, in this instance, I'm glad that he felt the consequence of the words he used.
It is striking, a very expensive consequence, if Forbes is accurate in saying that his deal with Adidas boosted his wealth by $1.5 billion with a B, and now that's gone and he's somewhere around $400 million. That is certainly quite the financial consequence. Scott Levin, really appreciate your time this afternoon. We'll definitely keep in touch on these issues, but thanks for joining us and breaking things down from your perspective.
Thanks, Jimmy. Have a great show. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Have a great evening. Once again, Scott Levin joining us, Jimmy Sangenberger in for Stephen Tubbs this afternoon. And he hits on, I think, an important point when you talk about normalization. You can't just set aside, this is maybe, there's a lot of discussion about mental health with Kanye West, with Ye, that he has mental health issues. That does not excuse or justify anything said like this in any way, shape, or form. You can't tolerate that. He's got enough people around him who should be telling him, hey, this isn't a good idea from a business standpoint. And I want to jump on one other point that I alluded to with Scott, and that is we talk a lot about cancel culture. We talk a lot about censorship. Should he be removed from Twitter for these comments? Maybe a suspension because if they're going to do that. But, I think allowing the free expression of ideas, even horrible, hateful rhetoric, is important because then you can combat it. But then it comes the combatment piece. And that's where a company like Adidas has to say, this is unacceptable. You have crossed the line and you're not going to just arrogantly deny the line.
I could literally say anti-Semitic and they can't drop me. I could say anti-Semitic things and Adidas can't drop me. Now what?
He didn't think there was a line. Adidas concluded that he crossed the line that did, in fact, exist. And it is within the rights of a company to decide whether or not they want to associate with this kind of vitriol and what message they want to send in that regard. And this is an instance where I think it was entirely appropriate and the right thing to do. Do you agree? Do you disagree? What are your thoughts when you hear, for example, Ye tweet out, I'm a bit sleepy tonight, but when I wake up, I'm going DEFCON 3 on Jewish people. The funny thing is, I actually can't be anti-Semitic because black people are actually Jewish also. You guys have toyed with me and tried to blackball anyone who ever opposes your agenda, suggesting that trope of Jewish control of institutions. Or you look at his claim that Jared Kushner only arranged peace agreements, helped getting involved in the Abraham Accords under former President Donald J. Trump, one of the most historic peace agreements ever between Israel and Gulf Arab countries. He said Jared Kushner did it to make money. Another trope highlighted there. He talked about how Hanukkah, instead of being a complicated Kwanzaa that his kids are exposed to in school, he prefers Hanukkah because it would at least, quote, come with some financial engineering. And other comments along those lines. Many of them in different situations. The Jewish underground media mafia, he criticized. And he tried to avoid criticism by saying black people cannot be anti-Semitic because, quote, we are Semite, we Jew, so I can't be anti-Semite. What? And then he literally puts it out there, tempting Adidas.
I could literally say anti-Semitic and they can't drop me. I could say anti-Semitic things and Adidas can't drop me. Now what?
He acknowledged that he said anti-Semitic things. Oh, Adidas can't drop me. I'm too big for that. So much for Adidas not dropping him. Being unable to do so. What are your thoughts? Do you think it was the right call? Or is this somehow an example of cancel culture and companies should just continue business arrangements worth billion plus dollars with a guy like Ye? 303-696-1971. Our telephone number, 303-696-1971. You can also text into the show on the 710 KNUS app on your smartphone. We'll pick up the conversation. Ben's in Morrison. Stay on the line. Get your thoughts in as well. Again, 303-696-1971. Jimmy Sangenberger in for Stephen Tubbs on News Talk 710 KNUS, Denver's local talk leader. I gotta love that guitar god, Eric Clapton, don't you? This is an old Freddie King tune he's covering. Jimmy Sangenberger in for Stephen Tubbs today. News Talk 710 KNUS. It does seem like Kanye West, now known as Ye, has been torn down a bit. Certainly his wealth has been reportedly cut now from $1.9 billion down to $400 million. Forbes valued a deal he had with Adidas as adding $1.5 billion to his net worth. That is gone now. They've said no, calling his bluff.
I could literally say anti-Semitic and they can't drop me. I could say anti-Semitic things and Adidas can't drop me. Now what?
And I ran through the litany of some of the anti-Semitic things that he said in the past 2 or 3 weeks. And he did say anti-Semitic things, and guess what? Adidas decided to drop him, and my goodness, is his wealth cratering. He's no longer estimated to be a billionaire. 303-696-1971, our telephone number. Is this cancel culture, or is this an appropriate instance where companies like Adidas or agencies like his talent agency, CAA, or a film studio, MRC, created a documentary and said, we're not releasing this documentary about Ye? Is that appropriate? Is that the right thing to do? I believe that it is. It was the right call. And it is an appropriate instance, and this is the kind of thing that we should absolutely call out. And I think if you're going to call out Ilhan Omar, congresswoman on the left from Minnesota, for spewing and spreading anti-Semitic tropes, you can't just stop there because she's a Democrat. And then look at Kanye West, Ye, and say, no, he's kind of right. Right wing now. He's pushing back against some of the left's narratives. And he is a Christian, professing to be Christian. So I'm going to give him a pass because I feel association with those things. I don't play that game. The things he said have been very clear cut. There's no room for interpretation from the comments that he has made that are virulently and vitriolically anti-Semitic. And I think you gotta call that out. And it is disappointing to see some of the defense of Kanye that we've seen, or the lack of criticism from some circles. But bottom line, I think that this was appropriate. We had a couple of folks who were hanging on the line and dropped off during the break. Feel free to call in 303-696-1971. Our telephone number. Would welcome your thoughts on the program about this exact topic. It's something interesting. You know what's also striking from the world of social media and famous personalities and so forth? And that is, I believe, this Friday, the Elon Musk purchase of Twitter is supposed to be completed. Now, this has been a wild ride. A very wild ride. Because way back in April, Elon Musk said, I'm extending an offer to, what was it? Was it $44 billion offer to purchase Twitter? And then he's like, well, no, I'm not. And they were all in hysterics. Oh, no, no way are you going to do this. And then it was clear that he could do it. Then they decided they wanted him to do it. And he decided he didn't want to do it. And then they took him to court at Twitter and said, no, you have to complete the deal now. And he finally acquiesced and said, okay, I'm going to complete the deal. And it looks like he's going to cut jobs, significantly trim Twitter's employee base. And it seems like that's necessary because Twitter appears to be very overvalued. But that purchase is happening on Friday. And that's it's interesting just in the context of the Kanye thing. Kanye just completed a purchase of Parler, the social media app Parler. Then you have Elon Musk saying, I'm going to purchase Twitter, which is much, much, much bigger than Parler. But in the first 3 days, and I think we'll talk about this more when I fill in for George Brockler tomorrow during the second half of his show. George will host from 6 to 8. I'll sit in from 8 to 10. I think it'll be something we'll dive into more when I do that. But Alexa texted in a few very interesting questions on this topic on the 710 KNUS app. Besides what we know already, what else do you think Elon will do in the first 3 days? That's one question. And I do think that he'll probably make some broader policy adjustments. What are you going to change? What's he going to change as far as the blocking and suspension policy? Banning people. Will he bring back Donald Trump to Twitter? I have a feeling that he will do that, and it will make some people very upset. The question is, will Trump do that, go back to Twitter, or will he just keep to Truth Social, his own social media platform that, quite frankly, has not been performing well at all? I think it's a financial disaster for Trump. I do think he'd probably go back to Twitter if given the opportunity, that it would be irresistible. But I would suspect that Trump and some others will be unsuspended or unbanned from Twitter, and he'll probably change some of those policies. Which goes to Alexis' second question, what impact could changes in Twitter, such as conservatives being unsuspended, have on the upcoming elections? And I think that it could drive the conversation more. If Trump suddenly comes back this weekend on Twitter, then you know he's going to drive discussions on issues. Perhaps he'll take on the southern border. Perhaps he'll rag on the economic failure of Biden when he was given the potential for a much stronger economy coming out of the pandemic because of the Trump Tax Cuts and Jobs Act and the Trump energy policies. Maybe he'll highlight that distinction. But in terms of the broader elections, frankly, I don't think enough people are on Twitter to actually drive the elections one way or the other. A lot of times people are on Twitter, get into these bubbles, and they think Twitter has much more of an outsized impact than it really does. I think looking at Twitter, you got to keep that in mind a good bit. And then she asked about unsuspending users such as James O'Keefe. I don't know about some of the specific instances beyond Trump, but I could totally see James O'Keefe being let back on, Trump being let back on, a great many being let back on. My guess is there will be some free speech policy changes on Twitter, but I don't know how much. What do you think might happen? 303-696-1971 is our telephone number to join into the conversation if you want to offer up some thoughts on that. So that actually, when we talk about Trump and the prospect of Trump coming back to Twitter, this also leads to a question that a listener said, what do you think of Joe O'Day being a never-Trumper? Now, I think Joe O'Day is making clear what he has always made clear, going back to the primaries, and that he is not aligned with President Trump, that he has a very different approach to politics, and he sees the tea leaves in Colorado where Trump, who I'm the first to say he did so many tremendous things. I just talked about a few key ones, the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, for one, that has helped the economy and boosted revenues to the government, if you're actually wanting revenues to be boosted to the government, but it proves that it's not a revenue problem we have, it's a spending problem. But, and I also touted, when we were talking about in the context of Kanye West, the Abraham Accords. In fact, Donald Trump should have gotten a Nobel Peace Prize for the Abraham Accords. But I do think that in this state where Donald Trump is unfortunately not popular among unaffiliated voters in particular, and yes, some Republicans, and certainly Democrats, that from a political standpoint, it is a good move for O'Day to distance himself because it undermines the Democrat arguments that when they try to paint him as some kind of extreme right-wing candidate for office and to try and create that narrative. It undermines that narrative. It's sort of like Pam Anderson being someone who's not partisan, not a political actor. And Jenna Griswold tries to paint her as being in league with certain election types. And Pam's like, don't be ridiculous. Kyle Clark on 9 News and others even say to Jenna Griswold, look, you're being ridiculous. This doesn't fly. Don't be silly. You're spewing lies about Pam Anderson. In a state like Colorado, especially, it is important to control the narratives. And say what you will if you're a Trump supporter about Joe O'Day distancing himself. And I would like you to call in and say what you want to say. 303-696-1971, our telephone number. But I think in this state, it does make sense. It's the right thing to do, and it helps control the narrative. And that's what you want. You want to undermine the left's attempts to shape a narrative about you. They're trying it on abortion. Whether or not that will be effective against O'Day is to be seen. But in my assessment, it's not as impactful as the Democrats are thinking. What do you think, though? Do you have issues here? 303-696-1971. With Joe O'Day distancing himself from President Trump, would you call that a never-Trumper? How about Kanye West and Adidas dropping him? We've got some more text we'll get to on the other side. Give us a call, 303-696-1971. I'm Jimmy Sengenberger in for Stephen Tubbs. You're on News Talk 710 KNUS. I'm feeling all right. How about you, little Joe Cocker? Jimmy Sengenberger in for Stephen Tubbs today. News Talk 710 KNUS. Tomorrow, Aaron Lapides will be filling in for the man who is in Hawaii. And a tropical vacation, my goodness. And then I'll be back in the saddle on Thursday for Stefan. Plus, tomorrow morning from 8 to 10, I'll be covering the second half of the George Show for George Brockler right here on Denver's local talk leader, News Talk 710 KNUS. We've got three balls up in the air. You want to talk about Ye or O'Day or Elon's Twitter purchase, 303-696-1971. We've got some text coming in, couple calls on the line. Let's go to Chris in Aurora. Good afternoon, Chris. How are you?
Hey, Jimmy. Good job.
Thank well you, done. Sir.
Hey, I have no problems with what Adidas did. I consider it cancel culture. I think anti-Semitism has to be called out whenever and wherever it occurs. If the New York Times would have done that perhaps a little sooner, maybe the Holocaust might have been a little different. That said, I want to get your take on something because I'm having some huge issues with the selective enforcement of anti-Semitism and the selective enforcement of what's going on with Kanye West.
Sure.
So Adidas has contractual relationships with China. I don't hear anybody calling out Adidas for their relationship with China, particularly as it involves the use of slave labor.
Yes.
With the Uyghurs.
That is a
And it really thing. Bugs me when people are going to take shots at Kanye West, and they should, and they're going to applaud Adidas, and they should, but they say nothing about their relationship with China. And I do not understand the selective enforcement when it comes to that.
You know,
I also
continue.
Ahead.
Please continue.
I also do not understand why people are so willing to pat Adidas on the back when they call out Kanye West's anti-Semitism, but nobody says a word about Ilhan Omar. Nobody says a word about Rashida Tlaib. Nobody says a word about the squad and the numerous anti-Semitic comments that they've made over the past 4 years. And I'm having a really hard time with people jumping up and down and saying, yay, good for Adidas when it comes to that. But when it comes to the four members of the squad and their repeated anti-Semitic comments, I don't understand why those four ladies get a pass, but Kanye West doesn't.
So let me say, Chris, excellent call and great points. To the second one, this is why I have been critical this hour of yay. I think he deserves that criticism, as we both agree on. It needs to be called out, and I think it's the right thing to drop him for sure. That doesn't mean that Adidas deserves some sort of special praise, but it was the right and appropriate thing to do for any of these companies that are dropping him. On this show with Stefan, or within the station with all of our hosts, myself included, I know we've all been critical of Ilhan Omar and the others, so on the right, that's certainly not a problem. We will call out Ilhan Omar and the others. You're talking about the bigger picture in terms of those media outlets that are going after Ye, those corporations like Adidas that are, and so forth. And I can only speak to how they're probably doing it out of politics. This is why I am still criticizing Ye because, and blasting him for this, because I want to be as consistent as I possibly can on these kinds of things, and I would only wish that corporations, whether they are giving donations to candidates like an Ilhan Omar running for re-election or doing deals with the Kanye West, that they would be consistent as well. And then real quick, I want to just mention about your point regarding Adidas. Spot on. They are using Uyghur slave labor of Uyghur Muslims in these concentration camps in China for their cotton that goes into some of these shoes. And they get a complete pass for that, and the media doesn't talk to them at all about it. And I think you're right to call that out, and it's probably just a financial thing for why they're going to be hypocrites on that and not be consistent in any way. Chris, what do you think?
They get it. I agree with you on that. They get a pass. Nike gets a pass. The NBA got a pass. The Olympics got a pass. And I just, at some point, while we're sitting here, you know, congratulating people on when they do the woke thing and when they cancel people because they don't like their stances, I just wish when it came to China, people would show just as much outrage as they do when it comes to anti-Semitism, because that's happening before our eyes as we speak.
And I just want to clarify, I looked up a piece in the Guardian. They say it's actually traces of the cotton from that province that the Uyghur Muslim slave camps are in, that it's T-shirts and shirts. Not that it makes too much of a difference. I'm just clarifying that the exact
kind
of product.
That's the kind of thing that drives me nuts is because, I mean, you watch anything with regards to the NBA, you watch, I mean, there were times where you couldn't even criticize the NBA's relationship with China, and you couldn't criticize Nike's relationship with China because somehow they got a pass because of that relationship. And I do not understand for the life of me why they did, when
the people that they are enslaving to do that work, that's happening right in front of us, right before our eyes.
They
We've
have
all seen the videos of them being loaded onto trains, and nobody says a word.
Both
but I know you've got other callers, and I appreciate it.
But, Chris, excellent call. Chris from Aurora, I would say that not only is it the case that you have concentration camps, but there's an aspect of this that's re-education camps, especially for children, and it is as diabolical as you can possibly get. We'll keep up the phones. We don't have any guests in the next hour. 303-696-1971. Keep the calls and texts coming. Jimmy Sangenberger in for Stephen Tubbs, News Talk 710 KNUS.